Thank you, Dominic. Track 2. A sound 5,000 years in the making. 5 millennia ago, a mighty oak fell. It's unlikely anyone saw it or heard it, but the wood from this tree is making its own noise now.
At 1 o'clock on Tuesday, 17th of May, under the octagonal lantern tower of the Ship of the Fens, Ely Cathedral, a stunning ancient oak table stood, cloaked by a large cloth. Alongside were serried ranks of guests, waiting for the Princess Royal to unveil the piece. This was no ordinary table. Neither were the guitar and violin on exhibition alongside the table, the latter to receive its first public airing. Predating the building of Ely Cathedral by over 4,000 years, the 42-foot, 13-metre-long table had been made from a single Fenland bog oak tree, as had the bouts, back and pegs of the violin, the only instrument of its kind in the world. The tree, thought to have been 150 feet tall, had been unearthed on land at Whissington Fen near Downham Market in 2012, the year of the Diamond Jubilee, after the farmer hit an obstacle while planting potatoes. Around 5,000 years ago, the Fenland Basin was a forested region of huge, straight oak trees, by no means resembling the pedunculate oaks found in today's woods and in hedgerows. The massive trees died in the waterlogged conditions, a consequence of a rise in sea levels which caused the rivers to back up, flooding the land. Eventually crashing down into the silt of the forest floor, the oaks were consumed and submerged, to be preserved in perfect anaerobic conditions. To get a perspective on the age of this oak, Stonehenge was constructed in the Neolithic period, 2500 BC, while the origins of Ely Cathedral date back to the early Abbey Church founded by St. Etheldreda in 672 AD. The present cathedral was built in 1083. It's a very old tree. Decades of Fenland agricultural cultivation have revealed many bog oaks. Many of these have been burnt or simply discarded, but latterly more have been preserved and they are now treasured, the nation's most ancient hardwood. The intensity of the black nature of the oak wood is a result of a subtle iron in the subsoil reacting with the tannins in the oak. This varies from tree to tree, from jet black to a beautiful and subtle colour which fades across the sawn planks. It's heavy too. The wood density ranges from 300 kilograms per cubic metre to well over 1,000 kilograms per cubic metre. So far, the heaviest has been 1,166 kilograms per cubic metre. The resurrection of what was to become the Jubilee Oak of 2012 began in March of that year, when the tree was exhumed. Such was the size and magnificence of the oak, it was considered too important to be just cut into manageable lengths for removal. The only solution was to saw it into planks in situ. To do so, the longest sawmill in the country was brought on site, requiring two telehandlers to undertake the cutting operation. The oak yielded 10 stunning consecutively cut planks, which became the Table of the Nation, the Platinum Jubilee Black Oak Table, sitting beneath the lantern tower. Stunning in its own right, beautifully crafted, and imaginatively designed, the table is only part of the story. From the very same tree which became the table, a separate piece of black oak had been selected for a violin. A Norfolk-based violin maker, Philip Taylor, agreed to create the world's first and currently only black oak violin, a stunningly beautiful and exquisite instrument. It may prove to be the only violin ever to be made from the magnificent ancient timber. Making the instrument was to break new ground. The ribs, back and pegs would be made from the bog oak, the neck and scroll from maple, the front, spruce, Established and experienced in stringed instrument making and repair, and knowing how the oak would resonate, structuring the thickness of the ribs and back was going to be a trial and error process for Philip. In the history of violin making, there are hardly any references to the incorporation of oak in an instrument, and any odd instances do not mention the back, the instrument soundboard. Philip, always prepared to push the boundaries, is not quite your normal luthier, untrammeled by tradition or mystique surrounding accepted violin-making materials or processes. As work began, an unexpected problem arose. The creation of a vast amount of black dust as the ancient oak was fashioned and scraped down to the required dimensions. It permeated the workbench and became ingrained in Philip's hands, with the risk of staining and contaminating the maple and light cream of the spruce front. "At the end of the day, my hands were ingrained in the black dust," says Philip. Once the violin was finished, the workbench, used for the bog oak, had to be resurfaced. The risk of cross-contamination was alleviated by segregating the work required on the differing woods and regular hand-washing. Once the ribs and back were completed, they were assembled and sealed in order to prevent any future risk of black dust impregnation. 4 pieces of the oak were sent away to a violin peg maker. Philip then turned his attention to the front, with the neck and scroll all requiring the same fine attention to detail. A luthier's work has a signature, not with pen and ink, but far more subtle. It is seen through the shape of the scroll, in nuances in the work on the neck, or just a hint of the creation of 2 F-holes pierced into the spruce front. The excitement was palpable, tempered by trepidation as the violin was finally assembled, leaving only the external varnish finishes to be applied and allowed to dry and harden. And then there was the first playing, a moment that could turn out to spark despair or sublime satisfaction, as there was absolutely no means of gauging how the resonance of the black bog oak would react to a violin bow stroking the finely tuned strings. The moment of truth arose in Philip's Norfolk workshop when, following many weeks of patient work and dedication, the sound from the instrument brought tears of joy to its maker. And there were tears among some members of the audience in the nave of Ely Cathedral a few months later, as the resonance of Bach's D major partita for solo violin swept over the audience and around the historic stone interior. Moved by the performance, and relieved, Philip says, "I was very concerned how the violin would project in the vastness of Ely Cathedral compared to my tiny workshop. But, under the lantern tower, the expressive beauty of the violin's expansive resonance and music was so moving that it left me emotionally bereft of words." Elizabeth Houston was the lucky professional musician playing the instrument. "The violin spoke for itself as I drew the bow across the A string before the hushed audience. The sound floated down the nave and it responded with absolute clarity to every bow stroke and each musical phrase," she says. "The black violin is not only unique in the quality of the tone it produces, it is a standalone instrument of significant character and beauty."